B-Pod Studios.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. Live on 97.5 The Fanatic and also NBC Sports Philadelphia. Welcome everybody watching on TV. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. I'm a little confused today. We're going to try to figure out the fan base and what they really represent today. Because I'm very confused. A couple of things have happened, right, that don't blend into one another. Now, let's take the Alshon's everything. And a lot of people have been talking about this all day, how we have this great outpouring of empathy for Alshon Jeffrey, and I was watching the show. I guess it was NBC Sports Philadelphia this morning, and John Clark had was a copy of a letter that a little girl wrote him. You know, very touching little letter. Alshon, we still love you, this and that. And you get that. We still love you, Alshon. Don't even worry about it. Now, this is a crippling loss that just happened. And he was the reason, well, he didn't catch the ball. He wasn't really the reason, but him not catching the ball was one of the death knells of the Eagle season. And yet, there's been this outpouring of empathy for the guy. And I think it's a sign that we have evolved as human beings because what happened last night was puzzling to me, that the fan base booed Jared Bayless for every minute that he was on the floor, every time he touched the ball. So we still have that nasty creep part of us, right? So I'm trying to like put the two things together on what drives us here. Now, let's look at the Alshon. It definitely, in my view, been mitigated by the fact that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. If the Eagles had not won the Super Bowl last year, do you think we would have the same outpouring of love and affection for Alshon Jeffrey? I would hope that we would, but in reality, we probably would not, right? So you can connect those dots on, okay, we already got one, and he tried his hardest and all that, and it kind of disarms us. Winning disarms us. I don't know how long it's going to disarm us, but I think it manifested itself in that Alshon Jeffrey play out, that whole thing. And, you know, if he shows up at the... I was thinking last night as I was watching the Sixers game. Had he shown up at the Sixers game... He wasn't there last night, right, Tyrone? Alshon wasn't at the game last night, was he?
Yeah.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh, he was at the game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I missed that part of the game then.
Because
I was thinking of just beyond that. So he got an ovation when they put him on the screen?
They didn't show it on TV. I was told that they did.
Okay.
They didn't,
but they never showed it on TV. I wasn't at the game last night either, and I didn't know that happened. I'm just, without that, I'm sensing this great sense of empathy for Alshon Jeffrey. So last night, they gave him a standing ovation. That kind of, you know, reaffirms the point. So explain to me, let's just take this, first of all, Tyrone. Explain to me what you think the root of that is with the Philadelphia fan base.
I think it's 100% the Super Bowl, as you said. Because in 2015, if this same thing was to happen, I can't imagine him getting an ovation. Maybe he wouldn't have got booed. Maybe it wouldn't have been vitriol. But there's no way he gets all the love that he got. So to me, it has to be 100% Super Bowl, and that kind of bothers me about it.
All right, the other thing is maybe personality plays into it. We didn't have any patience at all. We wouldn't have that kind of love for a guy like Donovan McNabb. For whatever reason, he rubbed the fan base the wrong way. Alshon doesn't rub you the wrong way, right? He played hurt. He did a great thing, which was he laid on the ground with his head in the ground, and then he lamented on the sideline like he was going to cry. So he felt that emotion of letting his team and maybe even his fan base down, and I think that connected with a lot of people as well.
Yeah, that was a factor.
Okay. Now, explain to me now. Let's move on to last night and Jared Bayless. Because I talked about this when he played with the Sixers, that every time he missed a shot, he got booed. And in fact, every time the ball would swing his way, there started to be audible groans within the building. But it developed into this almost borderline hatred for Jared Bayless. And he wasn't that important of a player that we would invest that kind of anger in. So try to explain last night with the Philadelphia fan base and why they felt that way for Jared Bayless.
Fans were trying to enlighten me during Sixers Outsiders because I had no idea why. They claim that they're not booing Bayless. They're booing Colangelo through Bayless. Because he signed a 3-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first signing when Colangelo took over from Hinkie. And he's now becomes the symbol of the anti-process. And they're booing him because they're saying, one, Hinkie was perfect and he would have never made a bad signing.
Mm-hmm.
And two, we hate Colangelo, therefore we have to hate you.
Okay.
And apparently that's why they booed him. But my issue with...
That's many levels of intellectualism.
Right. This is what they brought to me.
Yes. Okay. That's working real hard intellectually to arrive at a hatred conclusion.
I think they just hate the guy unfairly. They're talking about he stole money for 3 years. First of all, it wasn't your money. Second of all, it did not preclude the Sixers from signing anybody. They did not get LeBron or Paul George because of Jared Bayless. It had nothing to do. His contract was completely inconsequential. There was no reason to boo him, and yet the fans unmercifully booed him the entire time.
Well, they did. And it was, I don't think that Mark Zumoff, who was the 25th anniversary of him calling Sixer games last night, they were celebrating, or Happy Allah, could understand what was going on last night with that.
It
threw Zoo.
It did. Because it was so much love in the building. It's a blowout victory. There's so much love, and yet the fans are going out of their way to boo Bayless.
Yeah, it wasn't an important enough factor to waste your energy on. But it's a really interesting. I love the fans here. I love studying the dynamic of how they think. And like on the heels of this great benevolence for Alshon Jeffrey comes like the horns and the pitchfork and the red suit out of the blue for a guy like Jared Bayless.
I still can't wrap my mind. I don't have any hate. I couldn't search. I searched my soul to find some Jared Bayless hate so I could be part of it. I couldn't find any. I have nothing against.
I've read a few things on Twitter too, and one of the things that bothered some people is that he took $9 million in salary and was worth like less than a mil in worth, and so they were paying him $9 million. I think that rankles people too when you can't play and you're making that kind of money.
I get it, but was he blame the person who gave him the money, not the player who took it? If somebody offered me $9 million to produce, I'm going to take it.
Yeah, but what do we do with Andre Iguodala here? You know, we didn't blame the Sixers for giving him the money. We blamed him for thinking he was worth that money.
Well, he had an attitude. Bayless was a guy who showed up early.
But Bayless doesn't smile ever either. Like, he's got a stone face. Like, you have to have some expressions in Philadelphia. The only guy that has been successful here without expressions has been Chase Utley.
Yeah.
You have to have like something that indicates that you have some kind of personality. Even if you don't say anything. Like, you have to have an expression of some sort. He had no expression ever.
Maybe that's why I understand Bayless.
Because you have no expression.
No impression. We're related that way.
All right, we'll kick it around. What makes us tick is kind of like a general theme, but we can get into specifics. On what they're going to do, obviously. There was a really interesting story about Shil Kapadia interviewing Joe Banner, how he would handle this Foles situation and what option would he choose. We can kick that around as well. And it is also General Knowledge Wednesday. And today we have a monster prize. General Knowledge answerers correctly, correct answerers, will qualify for a pair of tickets to see The Who. The Who, Natalie. At Citizens Bank Park on May 25th. Tickets go on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Now, The Who's got two dudes that are dead.
Yes.
Which leaves me out.
Well,
but I know that people would love to see the Daltrey Townsend thing.
Well, apparently Daltrey has hinted that this is it.
Uh-huh. So it's the last time you'll be able to see him.
Yeah.
It's but always maybe the last continue. Time.
No, but maybe they'll continue without him. He's saying yeah, for him.
Listen,
because you got Ringo's son playing drums.
Yeah. This is an appealing prize. Not, I'm out on stuff like this, though. I mean, this is a flaw of mine. When there's a famous band that you like over the years and grew up or whatever and appreciate and members die, it's not the same for me. And, you know, that's okay. I'm okay with that. But I know people feel a complete opposite.
But how long's the drummer been gone? He's been gone about 40 years. I mean,
yeah, he died right in their heyday.
Yeah.
But then the bass player, who was a brilliant musician, died too. And, you know, it's like anything else. You know?
I guess you.
I mean, it's just me. I'm a weirdo.
Yeah, I actually am probably going to try to go to this.
Are you?
I want to see all the legends before. So I've seen Mike McCartney. I don't want to take them for granted.
Yeah, I get it. But see, The Who is one of the top five rock acts ever. In fact, on my list, I think I had them like three.
Yeah, you had them pretty high.
I had them three. And I really liked them. But what I like a lot about The Who is their mayhem. You know, they were rock mayhem. The drummer was so much a part of that rock mayhem. And Roger Daltrey with the sweeping guitar smashes. And then he would destroy it. Like, that was the mayhem of The Who. I can't now scale down and take a diluted version of The Who.
Been with them 30 years, though. 30 years you've been playing with
them. Well, that
like,
and
I've seen that era. I'm good with it. It's part of my brain. But I don't need any more of it. But I'm now that I diluted the prize completely. Now, it's a great prize.
It's
so here are the categories. Nat, did you want to say something?
No. I was going to say it's kind of like it makes you sad because it's not like it wasn't your heyday.
Well, it doesn't make me sad. It was just it was there and it ended. And it's great for what it was. I don't need to come back to it.
I caught my mom watching old videos of Led Zeppelin on the computer, and then she was watching a video of them now, and she was crying because it made her so sad.
Really?
Yeah. She was like, I can't do this.
Wait, see, when you look at a band like Springsteen, who still tours, he still has the gang together. Like, that gang is together still. It's always been the E Street Band. They're still together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no missing parts.
I mean, I can't relate myself.
Yeah, I understand. all right, so today's topic, general knowledge. Two, Sinatra, title in the lyrics.
No. Yes. Did you do this for me?
Yes. Oh. In honor of you, Sinatra, title in the lyrics.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So it'll be all these Sinatra songs where the title is in the lyric, and I'll give you part of the lyric, and you have to fill in the rest of the lyric.
Okay.
All right? And then it's Arnold Schwarzenegger quotes.
Okay.
Which will be easy for people. And finally, NFL coaches' victories. We'll touch on a little football action. All right, here's how you get in. 610-622-0975. It is the Mike Misnelli Show. It's live on TV and radio, and we're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All righty, it's the Mike Misnelli Show at 2:20, and we should tell you that the 2 o'clock hour, as always, is brought to us by the great folks at Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. This is their new location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today. Time to start the Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. From snowblowers to generators and small engines, every part for every machine in stock when you need it, Moyer will keep you going this winter. Miss Natalie.
So today's poll kind of feeds off of, you know, where the heads of the Philadelphia fans are at. Is cheering Alshon Jeffrey a sign of Philadelphia fans evolving? 58% say yes, we have matured. 42% say no, it's the Super Bowl.
That's pretty close.
I know.
People are being honest about this. 42%, nah, we're nasty as ever, but it's the Super Bowl, so we're, you know, take a step back. All right, let's go to the phones. Thomas and Broomall starts us off. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What you doing, man?
Nothing. So one thing is about the Sixers. Mm-hmm. You know, that was like a beatdown on the Timberwolves last night. I was not expecting them to score 149 points.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that the Sixers were capable of doing that, to be honest with you. You know, especially with Karl Anthony Towns, Wiggins, I thought they were going to score more points or, you know.
I think those guys had something to do after the game. Nobody on the T-Wolves actually played last night.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking anything away from the Sixers. They made open shots, but they got open shots all night.
I mean, like 19 or 23 pointers made, I believe, the Sixers.
Yeah, 21 three-pointers, and they were all wide open. Even my man, my favorite player on the squad, JB, as I call him, Jonah Bolden, came in firing. Dennis Rodman with a jump shot.
Yeah. another thing to mention, Corey Brewer. Mm-hmm. Like, we signed him for a 10-day contract.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get he can shoot the three a little bit, but I was not expecting them to sign Corey Brewer.
What's the problem with signing Corey Brewer?
I mean, I don't know.
He's the best guy on your bench right now.
Yeah, I get that, but it's like, you know, we're waiting for that big trade, like another trade.
You're not going to be done with Corey Brewer, man, but you got to add some better players on your bench. I mean, he's certainly a better player than what they have. Doesn't mean they're going to stop trying to look for somebody.
Yeah, I get that. And, I saw you the other day. You were saying, because I emailed you back, like I was kind of shocked that you said, like, you've gotten emails from people asking, you know, how old I was. I don't know if it's because...
Yes, people are concerned about you, Thomas. They're intrigued.
I'm young.
They're intrigued by you. They don't know what to make of you.
Yeah.
So there you go. Your whole life is being exposed now through the Mike Mussinelli show, Thomas.
Yeah.
Can you handle that kind of pressure?
Sure.
All right, buddy. You got it. Let's get... Dave in Holmesburg. Well, I actually joined the Joe and Bolden parade last night, Tyrone. You saw.
I saw you tweeted about it.
Tweeted out. Bolden. Triple exclamation point.
Yeah,
when I go triple exclamation point, I really mean business.
Right. Now,
one, yeah.
You're not
two,
into it.
I get to three.
Now, here's a question for all the Bolden fans. And you know, I'm
Natalie's shaking her head like I'm actually trying to be sarcastic here.
Right. He's really honest. Once he uses that third exclamation point, you know it defines me.
I believe nothing.
Tomorrow they play the Pacers, who's ahead of the Sixers in the standings. Can he do it? And I hope he can. You know, I'm the president. Can he do it against the good team tomorrow? If he put us together back-to-back games, now forget about it. Friday will be the Jonah Bolden station.
Yes.
If he can do it. Two games in a row.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens.
Yeah, well, it's you made this prediction, you know, 2 years ago about Jonah Bolden.
He'd come in and contribute right away.
And my reaction was, no. Dave in Holmesburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Listen, you think Brett Brown's on Nick Foles' watch?
Is Brett Brown on the Nick Foles watch?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like when Nick Foles takes us to the Super Bowl, we're taking him back. If Brett Brown loses in the first round, is he done?
Yeah, he probably is.
Okay.
If he loses in the first round, he would lose to the fifth seed. He would lose to Indiana.
That's a top team.
It is.
Okay, but you know what? I'm glad they scored 149 points last night because they got a heck of a schedule coming up.
Yeah, well, I hope they didn't get all those points out of their system because they made a few shots.
I'm saying.
Yeah, no, they made shots last night. It was ridiculous the way they were making shots.
I know. My second point, I was the one that called about the stud linebacker yesterday. You know I am, but...
Yeah, but you're Mr. Middle Linebacker.
I am. Dick Buskett snorting frost.
Buskett
in the locker.
Yeah.
Would you take a chance on one of the three good ones out there this year?
In the draft?
No, in free agency.
Oh, free agency? No. It would not be a priority for me.
No, Clowney?
Clowney's not a linebacker. He's the Russian defensive
end. Well, he is, basically.
No, he's a defensive end.
Well, he does play linebacker. Anyway,
No, he doesn't. But God, would I take a chance on him? Of course. Yeah. Would I take him as my left end and replace Brandon Graham with him? Absolutely, Dave.
How about C.J. Mosley from Baltimore? No, that would get him very much.
I like C.J. Mosley.
I love him.
Well, you are linebackered up, Dave.
I don't know what's going on with you, man. That's where I start.
I guess. I don't know. It's like a kind of a archaic view to start with your linebackers and then go... Go surround your linebackers with good people. Drew in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Drew? All the favorites are calling early in the 2 o'clock hour, Tyrone. We've had Thomas, we had Dave from Holmesburg, and Drew from Westchester in the first half hour of the show.
I'd like to be considered a favorite, Mike. I appreciate that.
Good job, Drew.
Hey, man, so about that Sixers game last night, that was a perfect game, if any could be ever seen. I mean, it was just beautiful from finish to end.
Yeah, they played very well. It was a pleasure to see them score. And do you see the people that rip Ben Simmons? Do they appreciate like a game like that? You know, where he can go anywhere on the floor that he wants.
I don't know. I mean, Ben Simmons didn't play any defense, though. I mean, it was pretty.
I get it, but the ability. See, you got to look at the ability, unique ability of a guy like that. And last night it was on display. There aren't many guys that can play that way.
No, and him and Embiid, they both played stellar.
Yeah, and Butler just bided his time. I was wondering when he was going to start playing, but he deferred to everybody else, and they busted some rear.
Yeah, they did. It was a great game to watch. I enjoyed it.
Yep. All right, man. You got it. See, this is the thing. People, great players, are, like, people expect greatness every second. And greatness doesn't happen every second. But what it makes people do, because it doesn't happen every second, it makes people judge the greatness more harshly than the mediocre. Right? The only thing you'll get feedback with Simmons when he doesn't have a good game. You'll never get a tweet that says, oh my God, now I can see how he's one of the most dominant players in the game right now and you don't trade him. You'll never get that.
Never.
But you'll get, Furkan Korkmaz has been with all the time. We don't need a shooter. You got Korkmaz. You get that all the time.
Yep, you get Shamus JJ Jr. You'll get all of that.
Let's just go down the list of the people who have been conned. Right? The people who have conned. All right, let's just start. You know how I feel about Bolden, and he's still a work in progress. So he may turn out to be something. Korkmaz, we already know. Now can we see that he can't play?
Yes.
All right. Is that clear to the fan base that he can't play?
Yeah. No one's calling for him anymore. He's out of the rotation.
Okay.
And he'll be out of the
league.
All
right. So now when we go back in time, there was the Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot.
Yep, the TLC fans. Yep.
There were the Rashawn Holmes people.
Yeah, some of them are still out there.
The Nick Stauskas people I can never forget. Sauce Castillo. Oh, my God. Right? And who else? Oh, Justin Anderson.
My guy.
Your guy, Justin Anderson, right? These are all forgotten souls now.
Yeah, you had
the ones that I was ripping the whole while, and people were saying, you don't know what you're talking about, they've withered in the dust.
There was, during the process, there was Henry Sims fans who told me, that even when Embiid gets healthy, he's going to have to fight Henry Sims for minutes. Yeah, he fooled some people for a while.
And then there's Simmons, guy with real talent that we take for granted. We just do. We take for granted the real talent, the breathtaking talent that the kid has, who revolutionizes a position, and nobody else has that in the league. Nobody else has a Simmons.
He threw in on Sunday, I know we were all getting ready for the Eagles, a 20-20-9 game. What point guard in today's game could throw in a 20-20-9 game?
Listen, man. I hear you. Kevin in Delaware, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kev?
I called to talk about the Eagles, but you guys are talking about the Sixers, so I want to change that because I got a bone to pick with you.
Another one? You pick a bone with me every day.
This is my first one.
All right. I don't have any bones left with you.
and it's about JB. I called and said that JB
was Dennis Rodman.
Is a Dennis Rodman type player.
Yeah.
I did not say he's the next Dennis Rodman. I said that he can do the things that Dennis Rodman did, but he cannot do them at Dennis Rodman level. And he's doing those things now, and he's even got a three-pointer every now and then.
Dude, where is he doing these things now? For every one decent game that he has, he stinks in four. Come on, brother. You've been hitting the cough medicine, Kevin.
Look, man,
you gotta stay off the cough medicine.
I'm not saying that he's Dennis Rodman.
Kevin, listen to me. I'm doing this for your own good, all right? Don't overreact to mediocrity, all right? Just don't. You know, there's going to be an occasional game where a guy like Korkmaz makes a couple of three-pointers. There's going to be a game where Jonah Bolden will make three uncontested threes. But it doesn't last. There's true talent and there's mediocre talent.
He's the only guy that can bring some physicality off the bench. He's the best of the bad bunch. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, well, that doesn't say much that he's the best of the bad bunch. I don't need the best of the bad bunch. I need actual difference makers. That's what I've been screaming about. Yeah, okay, you want to have him on your bench and he's the best of a bad bunch? Is that going to get you past Toronto? I mean, really, it's a legitimate question. Jermaine in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jermaine.
Yo, what's going, Mike?
What's up, Jermaine?
Not much. I had two questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently everyone on the team has nicknames for Foles. You know, Wentz calls him the Believer. Chris Long calls him the Milkman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think everybody on the team was kind of hard on him? You know what I mean? Like, as an African-American growing up in a white school, I consider that being bullied. You know what I mean? Like, I think the team was kind of hard on him.
How was the team hard on him?
I would give him nicknames. They always mess with him in the locker room. You know what I mean? Did all kinds of stuff. But I guess that's, I don't know. But and my next question is, do you think Jeffrey's lost the season for us?
Did he lose the season?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't catch a ball that should have been caught, but you didn't know that they were going to score a touchdown on that drive anyway. So, no, you can't blame him for losing the season. But what did it contribute? Obviously.
All right, buddy, that's it, man.
All right, man. Now let's go back to your first point here, Jermaine. Explain this to me. I want to learn, like, what your point was about being too hard on him. Is he gone? Oh, damn it! What was he saying there? You think?
I don't know. I was confused too. I wanted him to elaborate. Who were they too hard on? He says he's black in an all white school.
Yeah.
Who were they too hard on? McNabb?
I think he was talking about McNabb, but I don't know. That's, you know.
People weren't too hard on McNabb.
No, he got off the point quickly, but I wish he would have stayed on it because it sounded like it would have been an interesting conversation. Joe in Jersey. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Joe?
Not much. I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about the Phillies for a minute.
Go ahead.
Machado and Bryce Harper, what kind of payroll are they looking to get?
Probably $350 million for 10 years.
Wow. Don't you think, I mean, personally myself, I think it would be a little smarter for them. If they're going to spend that kind of money to go out and spread it around and get some players that they need in different positions.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't think so?
No, you need a star player. You need a compelling guy in your lineup that puts together your lineup. You need a star. The Phillies don't have stars.
How about their farm club?
Well, who's a Bryce Harper? Who are you going to bring up that's a Bryce Harper or Manny Machado? These are legitimate stars, man. You talk about 40 home run, 120 RBI dudes.
I know, but I just don't think one guy can do everything.
Joe, I got to ask you, why would you not want either of those two guys?
I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't want them, but I'm just saying it makes a little more sense.
Why does it make more sense? If you have the money to pay for a star player, why wouldn't that make sense to you?
Well, I'm saying if you can go out and get some good quality ball players.
You get mediocre players as opposed to a star.
Not mediocre. I'm sure there's somebody out there in the market that's pretty decent.
No, there isn't. Not as far as free agents go, these are the best. Wouldn't you want the best?
Oh yeah, I want the best, but I mean that's a lot of cash to.
What do you care? Is it coming out of your pocket?
I know it's not coming out of my pocket. I'm just saying.
I don't know what your point is here, Joe. You want to improve the Phillies. You want to have a star player that brings your lineup together. You want excitement when you come to the ballpark. That's what a star player does for you.
Yeah, well.
All right, just, man. You want a general knowledge question?
Excuse me?
You want a general knowledge question?
Yeah, sure.
You want to go see the Who?
Yeah.
You like the Who?
Yeah, I like the Who.
Here we go. In what year did the War of 1812 start?
In what year did the War of 1812 start?
Yes.
Well, I mean, obviously it's 1812, but it's got to be something else. It's got to be...
You might see, sometimes you overthink things.
Say it again.
What's your answer?
I'll say 1811.
No, man, it was a trick question. I have to do it to you. No, listen, should I qualify and forget him a trick question?
Yes.
All right.
No. Yes. I would have done the same thing as him.
How exactly is that a trick question?
It's like who's buried in Grant's tomb type of question.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the year of the War of 1812 start. It's a trick question.
Okay.
1812 is the answer.
Yeah, because then you confused him. He knew it.
He didn't know it.
He knew it. Well, he said
he was overthinking.
Right, how did Mike confuse him by saying, what's the war of 1812? He said,
don't overthink it also.
Right.
But no, I feel bad about it. I feel guilt.
So I would qualify.
We're going to qualify him.
Okay.
All right, even though he doesn't want a star player.
That's a different issue.
Right. Bruno in Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bruno.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Bruno?
Hi, Nelly. How are you guys?
They're fantastic. They couldn't be any better.
Beautiful, beautiful. I just want to say, everybody's on Alshon about that last play. I just want to throw out a different look.
I don't think anybody's on Alshon about that last play. Just the opposite. Like, I expected to be people to be more on him, but apparently I'm wrong. But go ahead with your point.
Well, from what I saw during that play, right, is they were what do you think they were in, like a cover two? What I saw was Sproles going to the right and Ertz over to the right with one guy over there, and then Foles read it to throw to the left side, which was open. But to me, if he would have threw it to the right on that play, I think they would have had even more. You might be right,
but if the play was open, what does it, you know?
No, I guess does it matter? But what I'm saying is I think Foles made a misread on that play and should have threw it to the right instead of throwing it to the left. Yeah, I'm just, you know, in my own head. But
I can't say you're wrong. The only thing that my eyes saw on that play was it was an open play that he muffed.
You got to
catch the ball. Now, we say your job is to catch the ball. We say to a kicker, your job is to kick it through. But for some reason, we've backed off of Alshon Jeffrey, and we've been soft on a play that really he was kind of the goat.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But I either that's evolution of the Philadelphia fan base, or it's because they won the Super Bowl a year before, and we're not as pained by it.
Well, I think satisfaction is the death of desire in some ways. So we're all satisfied with that Super Bowl win.
I love
so we're
that.
Not as hungry.
Satisfaction is the death of desire. That's going on my wall. That might be like a tattoo on my rib.
You like that?
I love it. I could get a rib tattoo.
Oh my God!
Satisfaction
is the death of desire.
Is the death of desire. I've been looking for some script. All right, man, are you ready for your general knowledge question?
I am. That's why.
All right, title in the lyrics, Frank Sinatra.
Thank you.
All right, here's the lyric. Luck if you've been a lady to begin with. Blank, blank, blank,
luck be
blank.
A lady tonight.
That is correct. Luck be a lady tonight.
Oh, I'm so happy about this.
Satisfaction is the death of desire.
You should get it across your collarbone.
I'm thinking left rib cage.
It's a painful spot.
How about your neck?
What do you think? All my life, I've actually wanted some kind of a tattoo.
Seriously?
Yes. And I could never figure out what to get that was cool enough. Something literate.
I feel like a listener provided quote is very, you know, it's kind of like full circle.
I'll go with you.
I'll go too.
Satisfaction is the death of desire. I mean, you can live by that.
What about the rib cage, Mike?
Why not?
That just makes me
painful spot for the first one.
Where else would I put it?
Well, wherever you want.
Have it
on your back.
Yeah, less painful.
I can't see it there.
You can't. Well, you can only halfway see.
I want to be able to look at my rib and be reminded of satisfaction is the death of desire.
Maybe. How about like your forearm?
Like that? Like on top this mark?
Yeah, kind of like how Ty has his tats.
Yeah. I'm getting another one anyway. I'll go with you.
Possibility.
There you go. Think about it.
All right. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Misnelli Show on 97.5 Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Wow, you get a chance to go to Aruba Super Bowl weekend if you're lucky enough. I got another vacation spot for you, just came on the market. It's reading this in the New York Post. You know, you can buy a hilltop home in the beautiful rural area of Sambuca, Sicily, right now for €1.
Hmm?
What's the €1.
What's the catch?
There is no catch. Well, the catch is that you are obligated to invest at least $17,000 in a refurb within 3 years.
Like, that's it?
That's it.
Wow.
No, are you serious?
Dead serious.
Are you going to do it?
They put all these hilltop homes on the market because in the rural area, people have left the rural area and have abandoned these homes to go to more urban areas of Sicily.
Well, that's the dream right there.
It's an absolutely breathtaking view. It's actually called the earthly paradise, this area of Sicily.
Man.
€1, bro.
Wow.
I'm serious. That would be
an 11-hour plane flight.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
A bottle of Sambuca is more than that.
that is correct. And you can drink all the Sambuca you want, once you're there.
Huh.
€1 is equivalent to $1.
So I'm saying,
where do you fly into?
Probably Palermo.
And then what? It's like
75 miles away from Palermo.
Wow.
Still.
In the rural area.
That's not a lot of money.
A little kickback. It's like under the Sicilian sun.
That might be a nice spot for your vineyard.
Diane Lane. I don't know if you can. Well, let me see if there are any vineyards in there. There might be some vineyards. I got some vineyards in Sicily. Retire there. Or not. Like, do the show from there.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing that with the missus, but see, I need them to guarantee that I can get one more season of Sixers Outsiders so I know I have the money.
I can see you in Sicily, Tyrone.
No, my wife and I would enjoy that. We would go, you know how much vacation time we actually have, but we would go there, we'd refurb the place, go see it. It'd be nice. $17,000 over 3 years, sure, I can figure that out.
Italian marble's probably a lot cheaper there.
You get that
ball this here?
I don't know, I need a corner store.
You are never going to leave the city even for a day. Like, never.
$1? Come on, Nat. All right, let's get back to the phones. Scrap in Dodge City. What's up, Scrap?
Mike, what's up, Mike? What's up, Nat?
How you doing, Scrap?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I got a few jaws that I'm going to let you hang up.
Go ahead.
As far as with Alshon, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why the fans and myself, you know, everybody not really, you know, coming at him. For one, he's not a diva wide receiver. What I mean by diva wide receiver, he's not a Dez Bryant. He's not an Odell Beckham Jr. He's not an Antonio Brown, the me guy.
Mm-hmm.
If he was like that and he dropped the ball, then people, he would have been roofed by now.
That's a really good point. Suppose it was DeSean Jackson, who was very popular here, even though he was a diva.
Plus, you know, he balled out in the Super Bowl with a torn rotator cuff. You know,
okay.
So that's major point. Then I wanted to say something right here about Carson Wentz. Check this out about Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
What if do you think like mental is a problem? Because check this out, Foles came in to back him up, took us to the Super Bowl. He balled out. Then he got hurt again. You know, Foles came in and did his thing.
Right.
Now, check this out. You got my man from the Rams. He's still in the playoffs. He won game away from going to the Super Bowl.
Jared Goff, you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
So say if he do beat the Saints, they go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they win. Don't you think that's going to mess with his mind?
Well, I mean, why, listen, he's an athlete. He's a competitor. I mean, he has to compete to survive in the NFL. I don't know how it would mess up his mind. He knows he has to achieve, whether Goff achieves or not, whether Foles achieves or not, Wentz is still going to have to achieve to earn his money.
Yeah, but that's what's going to make him go. That's what's going to make him
well,
go.
Well, listen, if he can't play with that kind of pressure, I don't want him anyway.
Man.
You know, what are you going to do? You can't keep pressure off, guys. Scrap.
Man, that's why you should get rid of him, man. And rock
get rid of him? Here. Everybody's going to have the same pressure. What's the difference?
Man, keep folding there, man, and get the money worth.
No, that ship sailed. You want a general knowledge question?
Oh, man, shoot. Mike, why not?
All right. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger quotes.
All right.
This is from Predator.
Okay.
If it bleeds, blank, 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 blank.
If it bleeds.
If it bleeds, blank, 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 blank. From Predator.
If he bleeds from Predator. From
the movie Predator, and you don't have it. You didn't like Scrap?
That call was weak. He created a scenario where Carson Wentz wasn't good enough,
right,
just to get rid of him, but it was all exactly. in his own mind.
Wentz can't handle the pressure, so stay with Foles.
But he made that part up.
Right, he did make it up. It's if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yep.
From Predator. These Arnold Schwarzenegger ones are so easy that I might have to shift in mid-show to a different column.
Well, but he got so what? One, well, that's
he didn't
over
get
one.
It, but everybody else who was out there probably got it, right?
Yeah.
Because he's only done a couple movies, and so all his quotes are famous from these movies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're not going to have one from like Last Action Hero. Because no one exactly. saw that.
Or All the Way.
No, Jingle All the Way.
And like he's got a Tom Hanks... Yeah, laundry list of great cinema.
Oh, boy. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, finish.
I mean that dearly. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that Tom Hanks list. He's got like a list of five. 610-632-0975. And we're back after this in the 3 o'clock hour. We have Tim McManus today at 410. So we'll get the lowdown inside what the Eagles are thinking with this Nick Foles thing. They got a decision to make soon. We'll talk about it after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.